another fine show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio is the radio show that is changing the world through science and spirituality as we realize that our well-being and our happiness is through our own thoughts. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio, the Jewels. Hi there, welcome to Law of Attraction Radio Network. I'm Jewels, your host of Law of Attraction Talk Radio. And I'm thoroughly delighted that you could join us as we continue our investigation of 2012 and what that means for us. Tonight we're talking with Mike Barra, author of The Choice, Using Conscious Thoughts and Physics of the Mind to Reshape the World. It's a great interview, so stay with us. You are listening to your daily dose of well-being and inspiration on Law of Attraction Radio Network at loaradionetwork.com. Do you have panic attacks or anxiety? Are you in the middle of crisis or in a depression? Are you experiencing grief or a broken heart? Do you have everything going for you, but you feel like something is missing? Could you be experiencing the fear of success? Well, whatever the problem, I would love to help guide you through it with fast, easy, and insightful hypnosis. Let me introduce you to your magnificent self with a phone or Skype hypnosis session. Remember, there's nothing more important than you being happy. So let's change your mind and your world immediately. Contact me, Jules Johnson, Certified Hypnotherapist, at 951-201-2166 or go to lawofattractiontools.com. Well, we are back. Hey, just want to let you know that you need to listen to Constance Arnold of the Think, Believe, and Manifest show this week. Jeremiah LeBlanc co-hosts as they talk about everything you need to know about manifesting. I heard it and it is beyond fantastic. So when you're finished listening to my show, not before but after, you must run over to the Think, Believe, and Manifest show and click on the play button. It's something you just don't want to miss. You know, we provide these shows to you for free because the information is provided by the universe and it's not for sale. The more you remember, the more you resonate with, the more you apply in your life, the happier you get, the better off we all are. Let's go a step further. Any and every show you listen to is exactly what you should be listening to at that point in time. And as Seldar constantly tells me, trust the signs that the universe puts before you. So today, the key word for me and hopefully for you is to trust. Know that everything is on course and will work out perfectly for you. If you trust, then it must manifest. It's the law. If you are nervous about the future, then hear what the universe is telling you right now through this very show. You are going to be all right. You are safe. Release the fear. Let go of the rejection. Forget all about the lack. Simply move forward knowing that you are a blessing to this world and you will be assisting many more people who will need to be reminded of their divine magnificence. Again, just trust that everything is going to be fine, because it is. And one last thing before we get on with tonight's show. Don't forget that Seldar is coming to San Diego. So go to loaradionetwork.com and check out the seminars and workshop page. He is so interesting, and it's still amazing to me that he's got all the answers. I heard a story about his travels last week, and physicians are coming up to him and challenging him on certain issues. and Seldar laughs because they always walk away scratching their heads. Again, it's all about trusting the universe. Okay, let's get on with tonight's show. Mike Barra is an aerospace engineering consultant, lecturer, and co-author of the New York Times bestseller, Dark Mission, The Secret History of NASA. He is a frequent guest of Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie and is starring in a documentary film called Moon Rising. Soon he's going to be filming his own documentary based on his latest book, The Choice, and that is all about the year 2012. Welcome, Mike, to Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Well, I'm really glad to be here, Jules. Thanks for having me.
Your book, The Choice, has extensive research into astrology, physics, the Mayan calendar, the Hopi prophecies, everything that you could imagine has to do with the year 2012. This is really a reference book.
Yeah, I like to say it's like the unified field theory of physics and metaphysics, because I just, I've kind of known about all this stuff, and I just was able to put it all together. I mean, a big picture guy, and I see the big picture, and that's just kind of like, wow, this connects here, and this connects here, and this connects here. So
you can see where your engineering background had a hand in all this, because you took everything apart and then put it back together again so that we could understand it.
Yeah, that's that background has served me well. It teaches you some critical thinking skills, and I guess understanding how systems work together is really important, too, and that's another thing I got out of that career.
Yes, I must admit that this book is very entertaining. As a matter of fact, it was real hard for me to put down. I was reading it all night long. Very fascinating. So the first thing that I want to tackle is astrology. You're saying that planetary alignment does affect every living thing on the planet, that there is a real science to it, and it's not a bunch of baloney. Isn't that correct?
Well, yeah, and even more than that, they also have an effect on the physical reality of the Earth itself, because there's a lot of stuff out there, a lot of information that is known but isn't accepted by the mainstream science. One of the things that's really interesting is a study by a guy named John Nelson that he did for RCA back in the 1950s, where he found that not only did the positions of the planets affect, the solar storms on the sun and the magnetic output of the sun, which can affect shortwave radio signals, but he also found that these specific configurations, when they were lined up in astrological configurations, that's when the effects were most pronounced. And when it was a positive aspect in astrology, like a trine, the sun got very quiet, everything was very harmonious, and the radio wave signals traveled very, very freely and easily. And when you had a negative aspect, like a square or an opposition, the sun was much more violent, it was more active, there were magnetic storms, and it interfered with radio signals. So that was one of the things that led me and my co-author on my first book, Dark Mission, Richard C. Hoagland, to kind of conclude that this astrology stuff actually had some basis in fact. And then if you take it a step further, what you can see clearly is that, okay, if radio waves can be affected by the positions of the planets, then so can our thoughts, because our thoughts, our moods, our feelings, they're electromagnetic energy in the same sense that radio waves are. So if it can affect a radio signal, it can absolutely affect our consciousness. And that's one of the basic, premises of the book, which is that it's the astronomy that drives the astrology, and all this stuff really does matter.
You mentioned consciousness, and yet we're finding out that the solar flares and the magnetic solar storms are really affecting not only our consciousness and our emotions, but also earthquakes, floods, everything that could happen. Is that correct?
Yeah, the whole planet. And really, I don't think it's quite what's happening. It's not that the sun is affecting the earthquakes. What's happening is the same energy, this torsion energy that I talk about in The Choice, is actually affecting the sun and at the same time having an effect on the earth. So it's not like it's necessarily one or the other. It's the same energy that's affecting both both celestial objects. And it's going to be affecting the other planets as well. So, and every time that the the planets are in certain configurations in their orbits around the Earth and around the Sun, and then we get this extra boost of energy, let's say, coming from the center of the galaxy, which is happening now during this really unique alignment we have coming into the 2012 era, then everything's even going to be amplified. So we're going to have, you know, really, I think, significant and dramatic effects on planet Earth. And I think if you look back at some of the earthquakes we've been having recently in the December-January period, it's definitely connected to that. And that's, one of the things that I cover in The Choice is just that, you know, these things, the whole solar system is an interconnected system, and we all the planets and all the stars and all the energy is affecting, we're affecting each other in different ways.
Okay, so astrology is real, but where do we find accurate information about astrology?
Well, that's a really good question because, you know, I think different astrologers have, you know, they have different skills, and it really depends on their talents. You know, I think the quality of astrology is probably as varied as the talents of individual human beings. So I can't tell you. I would choose to work with someone whose information you found to be reliable in the past and who you trust and who you feel like has a pretty good head on their shoulders, because you'll get lots of different opinions of how astrology really works. What I will tell you is that the bigger stuff, the big picture stuff, the cultural stuff, as you look at the astrology of 2012 and the alignments of planets and so forth, that, you know, we are going to have some really broad effects on our consciousness coming up. It's going to probably change the way we think and the way we interact with each other in dramatic ways. So, I mean, picking one particular astrologer, I don't know. I have a numerologist named Jill St. James who I really trust, and she uses numerology and astrology together to sort of tell you what's going to happen to you in the next year or so. And I trust her. So I would just say, look, go out and find somebody that fits for you.
December 21st, 2012. There is an alignment of the planets, and it appears that this only happens once every 26,000 years. What does this all mean for us?
This is an alignment that takes place every 26,000 years because of the cycle of precession. And the situation is that the Earth is, you know, orbiting the Sun, and the Sun is orbiting the center of the galaxy, and we're now in a situation where every December 21st on the winter solstice, we're pretty well lined up with the galactic center, or where we think the galactic center is, and the Sun and the Earth, they kind of are all in a straight line. And that is a very rare event. Like I said, it happens every 26,000 years, and there seems to be a lot of evidence that time runs is as a wheel. It's more of a cycle than it is, you know, a straight line. In the West, we tend to think of time as a straight line, an arrow rather than a wheel, but in reality, it's a wheel. And we keep coming back to the same sorts of alignments. Now, the thing I will say about that is that at the same time, everything in space is constantly moving. It's constantly moving in this sort of spiraling left-to-right motion. So even though this particular alignment is the same, all of the other alignments around us are probably going to be different. In other words, the planets are probably in different positions than they were 26,000 years ago. And the other galaxies, the other stars around us are going to be in different positions. So even though we're repeating the same broader cycle, the outcome of it is completely going to be completely different because the rest of the geometry is different. So I guess you could look at it as an opportunity to either repeat history or to make a different choice and pick a different direction for the planet.
I know that there's this big thing about the Mayan calendar and 2012 being the end of the world, but as you are stating, this happens every 26,000 years, and it's apparent that the world didn't end. So this end of the world theory is really not true. Is that correct?
It would tend to discount that because it does not appear that the world ended 26,000 years ago, although it's a situation where, you know, remember, these alignments are important. So you've got one alignment every 26,000 years, and you've got the opposite alignment where the Sun and the Earth are on the opposite side of the celestial sphere, but still lined up with the center of the galaxy every 13,000 years. So it's about half that cycle. So you have, like, little cycles on the halves, and you have the big cycle on the 26,000 alignment. And it does appear that the last ice age ended about 13,000 years ago. Now, that, I believe, is somehow connected to something that happened to the planet with that alignment that took place at that time. But the question really is, you know, was it catastrophically bad, or was it a slow process that began 13,000 years ago? You know, how do we figure all this stuff out? And what I did when I studied all the different catastrophe scenarios is that I found that the current information kind of discounts most of them. But there is a possibility of all of them happening. And what I look at as we enter this 2012 era, which I think will go from, it probably started a couple years ago, and it really goes to about 2023 when the Yuga cycles end. Those catastrophe scenarios, the big disasters, it's possible those could happen, because I believe they have happened in the past. But I think it's a question of what is the intent of the planet going to be. And if we are focused on selfishness and fear and scarcity, we might get a really bad result. Focused on, you know, kumbaya and peace and light and love, then we're going to get a different result this time around. So the main thing I want to tell people with the choice is that it really is a choice, and we have a say in how the apocalypse turns out. And keep in mind that the word apocalypse simply means to lift the veil or reveal that which has been hidden. It does not mean... So what I'm trying to tell people is we have a say in what happens.
Okay, but I'm still not understanding where consciousness plays a role in this, because if there's an alignment of the planets and we have to change the way that we're thinking into a more harmonious level, we have that choice. But it still doesn't make any sense to me. How does that choice affect the planet? Do we move the planets? Can we avert disaster? I don't understand.
We can't move the planets, although it's possible we could move the moon, because I think that's artificial and somebody put it there a long time ago. But we can't move the planets. But here's the point is that the energy pulse that's going to come from the center of the galaxy, the Mayans talk about it, the Hopis even talk about it, this energy pulse is completely neutral. It really doesn't care how it manifests itself in 3D. And what all of these ancient cultures tell us, you know, is that we are going to have this nexus point where we're going to have to decide what kind of a world we want to live in. And that's going to happen sometime during this era. Now, the Mayans specifically say that Quetzalcoatl, the god, will ride a serpent rope from the center of the galaxy, and he will appear here in 3D, you know, on our planet, and he will judge us. We'll hear that. They immediately go to, you know, westernized, biblical Day of Judgment, Terminator 2 Judgment Day, that kind of thing. And what I think is that they've got that wrong. What the judgment is that the Mayans are talking about is that he's going to judge our intent for this planet that we live on. And so what I'm trying to tell people is, look, whether we have a positive outcome or a negative outcome to this is really up to us as a species. And it's up to us by setting the intent of the planet. And again, that has to do with prayer and meditation. I'd like to create basically little mini harmonic convergences on important calendar dates that are coming up where there's specific alignments and eclipses, and we have opportunities to sort of set the intent of the planet what I'm saying is any of these things could happen. All of these things, all these catastrophe scenarios could happen, or none of them could happen, and really it's going to be up to us.
Let's focus on the Mayan calendar again. You actually disagree with this great interpreter known as Dr. Kalaman about certain issues about the Mayan calendar. What are they?
What Dr. Kalaman says, you know, he doesn't think that the alignments really matter. He's got a slightly different take on when exactly the calendar runs out, and he does talk about how consciousness is going to evolve, and we're going to move into the universal underworld, and our consciousness is going to shift. And I agree with him on that, because, you know, for me personally, what motivated me to write The Choice was that I had a really powerful, profound spiritual experience on November 9th of last year of 2009, and I found out later that that was literally the exact moment that we were moving from this, what he calls the sixth day to the sixth night of the galactic underworld of the Mayan calendar. And it was at that point I went, holy heck, you know, this stuff is real. This really is affecting our consciousness. But what he tends to discount, he tends to discount these these alignments of planets and stars and so forth, and he doesn't think they're important. He says, well, the calendar's just a map of human consciousness, and the people that have these catastrophe scenarios based on some of the alignments, they're trying to, of course, connect, you know, gravity and magnetism to somehow affecting the Earth, and that's not what's going to do it. It's going to be this torsion energy. But he's kind of discounting them, and I'm saying, no, look, these alignments actually do matter, and we can show lots of experiments where physical alignments of planets like eclipses will affect physical instruments here on Earth and electronic instruments. So my separation from him is just that you do have to take these alignments seriously. Don't think that October of 2011 is when everything's going to come down. I think it's going to go on all the way through December 21st, 2012, and probably out for the next 8 or 10 or 12 years as we sort of transition and adapt to this new world. I mean, all of our hierarchical structures appear collapsing. They're kind of crumbling, and we shore them up, or we have to get rid of them and start.
You just mentioned the sixth night, and that is actually responsible for the financial collapse that we experienced in 2009 with Wall Street. I got to admit, it's the first time I've ever heard of the sixth night and the seventh day that's soon to come up on November 3rd. Let's talk about this and how it's going to affect us.
Yeah, Dr. Kalaman made some predictions about when the economy was going to go in the tank, and he nailed it within a day or two of the housing bubble bursting and the collapse, that's not the right word, but the downturn in the economy. And what he does is he says that within these so-called galactic underworlds, and there are nine of them, the Mayan underworlds, there are nine of them, we're in the galactic underworld right now, within that is a wave, a wave of consciousness that has 13 different aspects to it. And the wave is, you go up during the days and you go down during the nights. And so we've been in a period now from November to November of being in the sixth night of the galactic underworld of the Mayan calendar. And this is a period where things will be kind of quiet. Not a lot will happen, but you can have economic downturns. And that certainly does describe the situation that we're in now. And then what happens is you come into the seventh day, which he describes as sort of the last of these consciousness wave movements, that we will now ascend up the ladder to the point where we reach the universal consciousness in 2011, and everything will be together. I think there's a lot of information, including my own personal experience, plus the predictions about the economy, that make me think that Dr. Kalaman is onto something. Whether he's got the timing exactly right, I don't know, because there's a lot of really significant alignments happening after October of 2011, including a Venus transit, which will take place in June of 2012, and a major eclipse that ends over Mount Shasta in California, which is a sacred place to many, many different ancient cultures. So I think that we're going to continue to have, changes in our way of thinking and experience dramatic changes in our culture, at least through 2012 and probably on out for a while after that.
So what I hear you say is that the seventh day, which starts November 3rd, just a few weeks, it says that we're on the upswing, that we're feeling more positive, that we're healing, that we're becoming more aware, and that things are looking up for us.
Yeah, that's exactly what it says. But you have to keep in mind that along with that, there's other things happening. There's a yod on an astrological configuration called a yod or a yod on December 21st, 2012, and it basically has, Jupiter and Uranus and Neptune in opposition, and that points to hierarchies and structures, especially ones that have not been done in integrity, coming down. So we could have major transitions. We could see governments, our government, our form of government dramatically changing. We could see a president resigning. We could see all kinds of major stuff happening because we're going to become very unsatisfied, it appears, with the way things have been going. And remember, we're also at the same time right now moving from the age of Pisces into the age of Aquarius. And the age of Pisces is an occult age where things have been hidden. And Aquarius, of course, is about knowledge and enlightenment. So things are going to be revealed to us, and we're going to get very mad about things that we've been lied to. And that's what apocalypse means. Apocalypse means that all this stuff will be revealed. And then we're going to have decisions to make about what we're going to do about it and how we're going to move forward. So
wow. You know,
if you look at the last time we had the set of alignments in terms of the astrology, it's very similar to right before the American Revolution, where we basically revolted against the British. So we've got that kind of energy going, but now, a couple of hundred years later, we also have the added energy of the alignment with the center of the galaxy and this torsion energy, which will stimulate us even more. So, you know, rather than just maybe a revolution going on in our country, we may see some sort of worldwide shift in how we govern ourselves and who is running the show. And that's the kind of thing that's implied by this. Now, how that will manifest itself, I don't know, but it's sure going to be interesting to sit back and watch.
I'll say, but let's talk about the U.S. right now. We have got the extreme left and we've got the extreme right. But the biggest segment that is growing so large is really the center. So does that indicate that the center is really becoming aware of the consciousness and becoming more tolerant of both sides?
You're absolutely right, because what the physics says, the physics of the consciousness, the hyper-dimensional physics that I talk about in The Choice, what it says is that you're going to have polarization. You're going to have, everybody's having to make a choice. And one of the choices they're having to make is whether they're going to be, you know, of the spirit or whether they're going to be of the material world. And that's one of the things we're all going to have to confront. And those of us that are choosing the spirit are going to find, I think, a new way of cooperating. I think the extremists on both ends are going to become more amplified, but they're also going to become then more marginalized. We're not going to want this extreme back and forth shift anymore. But yeah, it's part and parcel to what the physics says is going to happen, and what the Mayan calendar says, and what the yuga cycles say, and also, you know, what the astrology, the physics, the astronomy says. So you're not crazy. That is what's happening. And I think, you know, we're about to see a big shift back to the right. And then, again, interestingly, right about the same time that we move into the seventh day, so then after that, that's when we begin to achieve balance in all things over the next few years leading up to 2012. So it looks like we'll sort of jerk back to the right, and then we will right the ship.
I just find it so fascinating that November 3rd falls on Election Day. That's amazing. In any case, I am pleased to hear that we're kind of on the upswing, because this needs to be put out there. People realize that it's all doom and gloom and we can't get anywhere.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's you know, it seems to be, the weird thing is that it seems to be happening. So you can poo-poo these predictions and this stuff all you want, but it really does seem to be that's the way things are going to work out. That's what it appears is going to happen.
Is there any clarity as to what kind of consciousness, what are we supposed to be thinking in the future? Which way? I mean, I know that we're supposed to be more harmonious and be able to get along with people, but which way are we supposed to be thinking? It's just not clear to me.
Here's the thing, Jules. It's a choice. We haven't chosen yet. That's the whole point. We have not chosen yet. So I don't know. What I suspect is going to happen, you know, is that a very, like 50.0000001% of us are going to decide to be more in our hearts than in our heads and more in our spirit than in our minds. And that will tip the scale to the point where the human race then begins its own upward swing to becoming more evolved, more spiritual, more connected, more in co-creation with our God, the God of our choice, I guess. So, you know, and that could take 100 years for us to get to that point. But this point that we're coming up to, this choice that we're going to make, when we choose it, again, from that moment forward to follow that path, as opposed to perhaps to the path that we've been on for the last 3,000 or 4,000 years, at least 2,000 years, of a lot of selfishness and materialism.
I pulled out a quote from the Mayan elder Hans Batz Min, who recently quoted, "The big issues we face today on Mother Earth are directly related to our lack of self-esteem. Isn't it funny that clearing up old self-esteem issues could save the planet? Think about it. We need to realize, honor, and respect our creative force and realize we are creators. We hold this reality together. We are the keepers of the Earth. When we truly honor ourselves and our awesome creative power, we will again live in a sacred way where we honor all life. When we honor all life, the essence / spirit of all living things will manifest." That seems like it applies.
Yeah, he's saying kind of the same thing, that, look, we're the ones that are going to decide whether we have another catastrophe, a pole shift, an ice age, whatever, and we wipe the slate clean and try it again, or whether we say, okay, no, we're now ready to move forward, and, you know, we're going to keep all the people that are here that want to stay here, and we're going to move forward in harmony, in greater harmony with everything, with the Earth and with God. The other thing that he's saying that's really interesting is another part of this is that one of the Mayan prophecies that's out there says that each of us at the end of time, which is what's coming up for this 2012 scenario, is that we're all going to have to face our own personal hall of mirrors. In other words, part of the judgment that they're talking about with this Quetzalcoatl judging is that we have to look at ourselves, be honest about ourselves, be true to who we really are, and judge ourselves. And in that judgment, part of it is to forgive ourselves. You know, if you forgive yourself, then there's no karma. If you forgive yourself, there's nothing to drag forward. You say, okay, look, you know, I'm not as good as a person as I want to be, but these are the good things about me and these are the bad things about me. But then at least you can move forward honestly. So I think what he's talking about in terms of the self-esteem issues is we're all going to be confronted with who we really are and what we really want from life. And that's going to help us choose which side we're going to be on when all this stuff starts to come down, whatever that is. So, yeah, I think it's really in agreement with what I'm talking about in the book.
Your book talks about the mirror as well, and it seems like everything and everyone is getting their buttons pushed. I'm noticing it myself, and it's a great time for proper reflection on how we are actually thinking. It's like our inner thoughts are really coming out where we can see them. They're no longer hidden. Unpleasant, but necessary.
Right, and that also gives you a chance to react differently to it than you've always reacted in the past. So, yeah, I think that you've your observation's absolutely correct. You really are, you know, everybody's going to start having these kinds of experiences. I've got people, you know, we both live in the area. I live in L.A., and there's a lot of superficial people here, but even those people are coming to me and asking me, like, what do you think is going to happen? Do you know anything about this 2012 stuff? People who don't even know I'm an author. You know, they don't even know that I wrote this book. They're asking me these questions. And just the last people on Earth that you would think would be interested in this are starting to kind of wake up. And that's, again, the driven forward or dream driven upward is people are waking up because they want to know, you know, what am I supposed to do here? They wake up and start to feel a need to maybe selfish, they're going to need those of us that are already awake to put our arm around them and say, okay, well, why don't you try this? Let's try yoga, or let's try the Mormon church, or whatever you choose. Mm-hmm. Try something and get connected to what works for you. And that's just going to be part of this process of growth that we're going to go through here.
You know, the common word that I'm hearing from everyone is synchronicity. And that appears to be happening more and more. People happen to be at the right place at the right time, or they happen to be guided in this direction because of the synchronicity that is manifesting. Is this part of it as well?
Right, exactly. And that's, again, that's the physics acting out and telling you, you know, okay, this is where you're supposed to be going. I mean, you know, for me, it's 11:11 and 3:33. Those, I mean, I see those all the time on clocks and seeing them everywhere. They're both, I know what they mean. They're both connected to tetrahedral geometry, which I talk a little bit about in the choice. So that stuff that's like a message to me that I'm supposed to go forward on this. Right now, I'm seeing beetles. For me, it's like beetles everywhere. And I'm thinking, okay, so I went and looked up what do beetles mean. And beetles are about, as a totem animal, are about rebirth, being reborn, and resurrection. So I guess that means in some ways that I'm supposed to be thinking about how I'm going to reinvent myself or be, you know, have a chance to be something different next phase of my life. So, yeah, these synchronicities are going to increase, and people are just more consciously aware of them. They've probably always been there, you know. You can shut them out. You can shut this stuff out. Most of us do. But if you really open up your mind and your heart and start to study what the meaning of whatever the signal is, you'll find the path you're supposed to go on. We're getting help. There's a lot of spiritual energy around us that's trying to help us get through this phase.
Isn't that wonderful? And it's something that we need to keep on remembering. There is spiritual energies all around us, helping us and guiding us to get exactly where we need to be. It's all good. It's all wonderful. It's such an exciting time. So, Mike, just out of curiosity, what do you think the new business model is going to be like after 2012? Is business going to change completely?
Wow, the future of business. I don't know. You know, it's interesting because there's a lot of people that are in this community that, you know, they're really down on money and commercialism and all this stuff. And they talk about how, you know, everything that's not done in integrity, like our monetary system, is going to collapse during this period. And you know, I don't really believe that our monetary system is out of integrity. I think that our monetary system, actually our commercial system, works great. It's much better than a barter system, because with a barter system, you know, you're kind of, the amount of growth you can have is very limited. And some people say things like, you know, anytime you profit, it's at somebody else's expense. Well, no, it's not. It's only at somebody else's expense if the contract that you've engaged in was done in fraud and deceit. And there's a lot of that going on right now. So what I see is that there will be a new integrity in our commercial system, but I still think we'll have a commercial system. We'll still have a currency, and we'll still have money the way we have it now, because, you know, it's been great for us in a lot of ways. It helps us build these incredible, you know, cities and buildings and create these technologies and fly out into space. So I don't see that dramatic, like, jump back. But what I see is I see a new system that has a lot more integrity built into it, because there's a lot of fraud and deceit going on. You know, you look at the mortgage situation. There's a lot of fraud going on in housing and mortgages. And that's part of what I think is going to be exposed over the next, you know.
Wow, if you really stop and think about it, all of the things that we're hearing about people being defrauded, homes being taken away from them by lies and deceit. So what I'm hearing then is all of this corruption in business is really going to be exposed, as well as in politics.
Right, and you know, there's a lot more complexity to the banking system, which I don't want to get into because I would like to be breathing in a year or two. I thought about writing The Secret History of the United States, but I don't think I'm ever going to write that book because, like I say, I want to be around. But you've got a situation where people have been really taken advantage of for a long time, and they really have had enough, and it's really going to cause some upheaval. I want to talk about one other thing. There's another guy. I was not able to get his information into the choice because I didn't get it until after I basically submitted the manuscript. But I found out about a guy named Arch Crawford, A-R-C-H Crawford, and he predicts the stock market based on astrology. And he also knew the guy I talked about earlier, John Nelson, the RCA engineer who did the study on shortwave radio signals and connected them to astrology. So he's been predicting stock markets for about 30 years based on astrological alignments. And what he says, and again, I wish I could have gotten this into the choice, but I didn't get it there. What he says is that there was a major alignment that took place in August and that something was basically put into the financial system that is going to manifest here in October in the stock market. And he's predicting the stock market will take a really dramatic drop by the end of the month. And it's going to be really interesting to see if that happens. Now, you could look at that as a bad thing, or you could say, well, I'm going to go buy gold, or I'm going to sell all my stock and get out of the stock market. So, interestingly, we have a chance to test some of this theory over the next few weeks, and we are getting to the middle of October, so if it's going to happen, I wish it would happen soon.
Mm.
I mean, maybe I'll end up being happy I didn't put Crawford stuff in there, but you know, there are rumblings right now. There's these lawsuits going on. There's a lot of things that if one of them takes hold in the news, that it could really dramatically affect the markets. So it'd be one thing to really watch, and it'll be another sign that we're moving into this transitional period for real if we do have a major fluctuation in the stock market over the next few. There are so many aspects of this we can talk about. It's interesting. I'm doing a lot of interviews, but it's always a different one. One guy wants to talk all about the physics. One guy wants to talk all about the ancient cultures. You know, it just depends on what aspect of the book do you want to talk about.
Yes, you've got a reference book that really goes into detail into all these different aspects about the year 2012. It's really, really interesting, and it's a fast and good read. You can't put the book down once you start reading it. And that leads me to the last chapter in your book about choice, about consciousness. Let's talk about that.
Well, yeah, because the point is that, you know, we look at all these different electrical devices and things that the government has. There's all these secret weapons and nuclear weapons and all this stuff. We think of this as very powerful, but the reality is that the spiritual energy in our bodies, individually and collectively, is far more powerful than all of this other stuff that we've manufactured with our minds. You know, each one of us is like a 100-watt light bulb, and we're putting out about 100 watts of electrical energy every moment of creation. And you know, just the atoms that are inside a 100-watt light bulb, if you split them all, you've basically got more energy in there than all the nuclear arsenals that have ever been on the planet Earth, ever. So all the stuff that was never even detonated. So each one of us is incredibly powerful, and that's why I'm saying why consciousness is important and how we can affect what this torsion wave of energy does when it gets here, whether it's in 2012 or 2016 or during whenever it gets here. We have a chance by setting our intent to tell it, this is what we want you to do. So the last chapter is all about just telling people to get focused on something. Now, the truth is, anybody who's reading the book is already awake, they're already aware, they're probably already working to a great extent on their internal processes. But you're going to have to be prepared for those people that are going to be waking up that have never thought about going to a church or, you know, doing a gong meditation or something, and you got to be ready to help them. And that's the last part of what I really.
So it's really all about our awakening to our unconsciousness and what we're all thinking, what really makes up our thoughts, the hidden aspects of ourselves that we never knew existed, our judgments, our inability to be tolerant. All of these things will be playing a vital role, and it's our job to become aware of them and shift them, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, there's a great church here, the Agape Spiritual Center
right.
in Culver City. It's Michael Bernard Beckwith's church, and it's a great place. It's a beautiful place, but I see just as much bigotry and judgment in that place as I see anywhere else. There's a lot of judgment of Christians and Mormons, and the truth is, you know, the human race is so diverse, just naturally, that not everything's going to work for everybody. I've gone to see, you know, Amici, and I got a hug from her, the hugging saint, you know, and
mm-hmm.
that Indian music drives me nuts, you know, it doesn't work for me. So I've gone to other places and found other things that resonate with me, and we have to just not have our judgment, help people find whatever works for them, and if they find something that we don't particularly like, that's okay. The important thing is that everybody get focused on that inner spark that they have, that connection to the bigger, grander universe, to God or the divine or whatever you want to call it. And if we do that, then we will, I think, naturally be able to set the intent. Because what concerns me is that a lot of the 2012 gurus and guys like David Wilcock, who I agree with on about 90% of what he says, they say we're all just going to, you know, ride off into the sunset and sing Kumbaya. And I'm saying, no, not unless we choose that. So what I'm trying to get people to do is to get in touch with whatever their inner spark is, and then actually spend some time thinking about what do they want, not just for themselves. The law of attraction and the secret is great if all you want, you know, is a big house, a fast car, and a hot girlfriend. But what does that do for everybody else? And you should spend some time also thinking about, it's okay to want material things for yourself, but spend some time thinking about your friends, your family, your community, your city, you know, your state, your country, and your planet. And what do you want for them? And that, I believe, is what's going to make this transitional period come out the way we want it.
You know, one of my mantras for a long time has been that there's nothing more important in this world than you being happy. Because truly, we can't influence other people unless we're happy. If we are going to shift consciousness through the ripple effect, then it starts with just one person, me. And so it's my obligation to look within and to become happy in order to fulfill the ripple effect. And by happy, I don't necessarily mean material goodies. I just mean to be happy within, for that's the true goody of life.
Yeah, and what I try to talk to people about in the choice, and I didn't really go too far with this. I take issue with the secret because you've got these people up there, you know, in the movie and in the book. I guess the book is basically the Hickses, but you know, you got in the movie telling people, well, this is how you get everything you want. This is how you get all these material things. And the problem is that people in the movie are all successful. And the reason that they're successful is because their life path had that included in it. You know, I firmly believe sometimes we come into a life just to be a ditch digger, you know, or we come into a life to just be a worker, to not have wealth and fame. And so I think it's kind of false advertising because it's telling people you can have anything you want. And I would say, no, you can't if it's in conflict with your soul purpose or your life path. Not everybody's going to be rich. Not everybody's going to be famous. So what I want people to do, what I try to talk about in the choice, is, again, ask those two questions of yourself. Who are you and what do you really want? So look inward, find out who you really are, and then seek out a life that's congruent and harmonious with who you really are. And that requires a really high degree of honesty with yourself about who you really are. You know, am I really talented enough to be an actress? You know, some people have to ask themselves that question. So would I be happier maybe if I was basically running a daycare? You know, I know a guy, and he's a friend of mine. He's trying to be an actor. He's a good little actor, and he's been trying, and he can't make it, and he's not making it, and he's not getting anywhere. And then he wrote a story about a guy that ends up working at a daycare, which is his day job. And I'm sitting here watching him go through this whole process, and I'm saying, you know, the universe is trying to tell you should be working with kids. You know, the daycare is where you should be, not give up, you know, not this actor thing. But again, it's a question of you just have to reach that point of self-assessment and self-honesty, and then I think you'll be able to have that happiness, and then that happiness will just radiate out to everyone around you and actually to the whole universe.
And you know, there's another fallacy that kind of ticks me off. It's this theory that people who have excess weight are unhealthy, that they're miserable. Hey, wait a minute. Some people are just that way. That's their metabolism. It's okay to be heavy. It's okay. But there's so much judgment around it. Automatically, if you see somebody that's heavy, you're saying, well, those are miserable people. They're fearful. That's just plain wrong. Quit judging and start looking within. And for all those people who are heavy, congratulations. That's just part of your makeup. It's okay.
And the truth is, too, that the more, you know, the happier you are inside, the more your body will reflect that as time goes by. You know, I have a friend who's always saying, you know, people always say that they, oh, if I was just thin, I'd be happy. And she says, no, if you were happy, you'd be thin. So, you know, so find the happiness, no matter what size you are.
Herein lies what I believe to be the shift of consciousness. It's not about what others are looking like. It's not about the color of the skin or what they say or what they do. The shift of consciousness has to do with your own perception of life. Forget everybody else. Focus in on changing your consciousness. And in one respect, I'm grateful for The Secret in that it brought people, teased them into understanding the principles behind the law of attraction. But truthfully, the listeners of this show, I'm proud to say, have gone way beyond The Secret. They have expanded to this really incredible place.
Well, and that's what's happening, because it served a purpose, because it got a lot of people, especially a lot of young people, interested in metaphysical things,
exactly.
Metaphysics, and they weren't before, but it served its purpose, and now it's time to move on, and we're all ready for more. So that's.
And I think that we're all ready to take personal responsibilities for ourselves, and that's a major, major shift. We're no longer victims. I love that. So, Mike, thank you so much for all of this wonderful information that you've put into The Choice. I hope everybody will go out and get the book, because once you start it, like I said, you will not be able to put it down. Mike, tell everybody how they can get your book.
I appreciate that, Jules. I appreciate it very much. And you can get The Choice you can go to my website. It's MikeBarra.com, that's with one R, so www.MikeBarra.com. You can get links there to BarnesandNoble.com or Amazon.com. It's all in all the bookstores now. It's just in a Borders and a Barnes and Noble last week, and it's in the bookstore, so you can definitely find it in the metaphysical section. And I hope a lot of you go out and read it, and I hope everybody's entertained by it.
Before you leave, tell us what your future plans are. Any books coming out?
Well, I'm working on a bunch of different things. I have a couple of screenplays. I actually have a novel that's out to publishers right now, which is not along the lines of The Choice. Well, it is a 2012 novel, but it's that's hopefully will get sold. But the next nonfiction project is going to be called Tales of the Heart, and it is going to be with my pet psychic, Denise Zack, and we are going to write a book about her lifetime as an animal intuitive and just the important role that pets and animals play in our lives, and they have profound things to teach us. And I'm going to write that book with Denise, because she needs to write it with her and for her, and she changed my life in many ways. I mean, we're going to write that. I think that's that feels really good, and that's going to be the next novel.
Wow, that sounds so fascinating. Well, keep me posted, because I definitely want to bring you back on. You really have some great insight. Thank you, Mike Barra. I really look forward to talking with you again.
Thank you, Jules.
Well, listeners, it's the end of another wonderful show. I want to thank you so much for listening, for getting great insight as to what we can do to prepare for 2012. And I think it's easier for all of us knowing about what to expect. If we can just stay away from the fear, trust that everything will be fine, as Seldar says, we just got to grab hold of that mother's hand. We'll be all right. We're going to be fine. It's all good. And I'm so glad that you are here on this journey with me. So until next week, keep the trust and know that everything is working out perfectly for you. Have a great one. Bye-bye. Thank you for joining us on Law of Attraction Talk Radio with Jules. For more information, go to Law of Attraction Radio Network at lawofattracttalkradio.com or lawofattractiontools.com.